Amen. We thank you for your giving. We are appreciated. Those of you online, we appreciate you for all that you do. Let's bow our heads and let us pray. I'm praying over this preaching moment. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you and praise you, God. Thank you for all the people, God. Thank you for all the servers, God, the greeters, the deacons, God, the prayers, God, everybody that makes up this service, God. Thank you for those who have tuned in online. But, God, we've come to the preaching moment, God, and we pray that you begin to work in the preaching moment. God, speak through my mouth and think through my mind, God. Illuminate my speech, but, God, so also illuminate the ears of the hearers, the listener ears, God. We believe that the Holy Spirit is going to be the one speaking to us, God. So touch their ears as well as their heart, as well as their mind, God. Let this be in a moment where revelation knowledge will flow freely, unhindered, uninterrupted, and unchecked by any satanic or demonic forces. God, we thank you for, God, the anointing on the word in this present moment. But on the replay, anybody who will watch it from the replay, anybody who will listen to it after it has already transpired, we pray that the same anointing would be on it to produce what needs to be produced. In Jesus' name we pray and let the people say, amen. All right, let's do our confession. We have our Bibles with us, or your phones, or however you're going to connect to the Word of God. Or if you just want to look on the screen, you can point to the screen and you can declare, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. Now go ahead and put your hands together and make some noise if you believe you're going to be fed. Amen. I would, if I were you, I would take some time with the vision statement. It's in several places and it is not done haphazardly. It's actually important, but pray through it and see what God will give to you. Those of you who keep a journal or a prayer journal, take some time and pray through the vision statement and see what God is speaking to you about it. And I believe you when we confess it, it won't just be words to you. It will actually have something in a root in you so that you know exactly what you're saying. Because if we're going to live our vision every day, we must know where our vision is and what it is and where we are headed. Of course, we are always headed to communicating Christ's love compassionately. So if you are an evil saint and a mean Christian, you are not fulfilling the vision. Amen? If you're one of them judgmental Christians and everybody going to hell but you, you might be in the wrong church because that's not our vision. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. And in order to be compassionate, that means sometimes you got to get in the other person's shoes. But I'm not. That's not the sermon today, so I'm just throwing it out there. If you're going to be a part of the church, learn the vision and live the vision. Amen. Maybe I will do some more teaching on it at some point. All right, so we're going to do some recap. We've been in a series ever since the eclipse happened, and so the first thing we talked about was SHINE, and so it was SHINE Part 1. I'm going to give you the acronym that we left you with, and it was simply this: serve him in everything. And the confession that we closed with was, nothing is going to block my shine because victory is mine. Whenever I say that, I can't help but think of the song, Victory is Mine. I told Satan, get thee behind, because victory somewhere down the line is mine. Is that what the song says? No, the song says victory today is mine. So you have to learn how to grab your moment, amen, because the Bible says now faith. And so we believe victory today is mine. So that moved us into Shine, and we went just to Shine Part 2. I didn't have some special title, so it was just Part 2, and we did another acronym, but we spelled it out this way, and so I'll just give us a recap. We talked about the suffering, the healing, the increase, the needs being met, and ultimately effectiveness as it relates to the kingdom of God. I also heard, I believe it was Sister Ruth, say that there we have Christians, and then you have kingdom people, kingdom-minded Christians. There's a difference than just having your name on the roll, and there's a difference for really making an effect on the kingdom, and hopefully that's what we're trying to do. So here was the confession that we had with this. The confession said this: I don't play because I know I'm on display, and I will shine in such a way that hell knows God has the final say. And so we were just basically saying, I know we done been through some stuff, but we plan on shining. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it's been like. I don't care how much the storm is raging. We know we are on display, and we plan on shining because God has the final say. If I'm broke now, God has the final say. If I'm sick now, God has the final say. If I'm confused now, it's okay because God has the final say. And so that moves us till today, and today is simply Shine Part 3. But as we work through it, we'll do the same thing, and we will end with a confession. So we're going to go with a scripture that we've used at all three of these sermons, and so we're going to start with this scripture. It's Isaiah 61:60-2. So
arise, shine, for your light has come.
Yes.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Upon you. Okay, read.
For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you.
Now, Christianity in itself is not a selfish religion. It is a selfless religion. And the purveyor of our religion, or who it's named after, supposed to be after, he gave the greatest ultimate sacrifice. And so it's not selfish, it is selfless. But even though it is selfless, there are some things and times and intervals in the scripture and moments when it can be about you. And this is one of the scriptures where the Bible says that the glory will be seen upon you. One thing you have to understand is you can't control somebody else's shine. You may want them to shine, but they have to want to shine. So in this teaching that we've been going through, even though we're not selfish, I do want you to look at yourself and understand this is your turn and this is your time, and you have to step into the light. You have to step into the shine. You have to embrace your moment and your season. You can't worry about everybody not coming with you, because not everybody wants to go when you want to go. Not everybody wants to do what you're willing to do. Not everybody wants to stretch themselves the way you're trying to stretch yourself. Some people will try to talk you out of it, but this is a season and a moment where you can focus on yourself and say, it's my time to shine. The prophet Curtis Jackson, also known as 50 Cent, he said, get rich or die trying. I'm trying to shine or die trying. I'm trying to shine for the kingdom of God. I'm trying to make an impact. I'm trying to make a difference. If somehow God delays his coming and you happen to go to my tombstone, I want in the middle of the dash when it says 1976 and then there's a dash and then there's a death date, I want you to know in the dash I shine for the Lord. Because at the end of the day, only what you do for Christ is going to last. All the stuff you amass, all the things you do, if it doesn't have Christ in the center of it, it means absolutely nothing. You can drive the greatest car. You can be in the biggest house. You can have the greatest vacations. But if you don't have Christ in your life and you don't shine for him, it means nothing. So I don't want to waste my time, and I don't want to waste your time. If we're going to come here in the house of God, we might as well make up in our mind we're going to shine for the Lord. Yes. So that's why we've been talking about this. But up until this point, I haven't defined the word shine. And so we're going to look at one of the definitions for the word shine, and we're going to pull it up here. And it simply says this. It says glow or be bright. And this is what I loved about it, with reflected light. Reflected light is light that does not get absorbed. It actually gets bounced back. And so when you are shining, you're not shining with your own light. You are taking the light of the sun, not just the S-U-N, but you're taking the light of the S-O-N, and you are reflecting it back. And so when I say I'm going to shine for Christ, it's not up to me to do it. It's up to me to allow him to shine on me, but also through me. Give you an example. So lately, and I told my wife, I don't know how much longer I'm gonna do this, but I'm in the mode now, but I'm already tired of it. But I've been hand washing my car every week on Saturday. That way Sunday it'll be looking good. But I already got tired of it. I don't know how long I'm gonna do it. Because it requires some work. But when people say your car is shining, that's not really the case, because when I wash my car and I'm driving in the dark, nobody says my car is shining. They only know my car is shining when the sunlight hits it, and then it reflects the sun and it makes the car shine. But without the S-U-N, there is no shine. I don't care how much I wax and polish, without the S-U-N, there is no sign. Shine. Well, without the S-O-N, there is no shine in your life. You can't shine apart from him. When I shine, it's really not me shining. When I preach, and so you say, boy, you preach. No, I really didn't preach. All I did was shine. I reflected what God was doing. And actually, it takes the pressure off, because all you have to do is get in the sunlight. All you got to do is get in the path of the S-O-N and watch that thing be reflected back out. So now let's add this. Here's a word that I think is going to be important as we move forward. It's the word glow, because shine said to glow or be bright with reflected light. So what is glow? Glow is to give off steady light without flame. In other words, it's not based on what's inside of me, because I have a flame, but sometimes my flame gets dim. If you've ever been by a fire or built a fire, you understand that you have to keep the fire going. You have to keep throwing things on the fire to keep the flame raging. And I do need you to understand, we're like Jeremiah. We got fire shut up in our bones. It's a beautiful thing. But life has a way of sometimes making the fire get a little dim, or the flame to get a little dim. When you have a big fire, the flame is high, but over time, the flame dims down. And life is like that, because we run into issues where the flame is not always raging all the time. It's easy for me to have the flame on Sunday morning with the microphone in my hand. That's easy. But when I'm in the midst of life and in the middle of the week and challenges are over me, and one songwriter said the waves are beating upon me, waves of obstacles, waves of trials. And sometimes it's not just trials. It's just regular life, not even the bad or the good, just mundane life. Sometimes you just don't feel like doing nothing. Nothing's bad, nothing's good. You just tired. I just want to sit in the chair. Where are you going? Nowhere. Once you hit 40, sometimes the best thing we want to do is just sit down somewhere. I don't want to go nowhere. I don't want to see nothing. Our flame is not always raging, because we are human. But what I like about the definition, let's go back to it. I can still give off a steady light without the flame, because my light is not coming from inside. My light is coming from outside. My light is based on the sun. So I can still glow even when I'm grieving. I can still glow even when I'm hurting. I can still glow even when I'm confused. I can still glow even when I'm tired. I can still glow even when I'm sick, because it's not my light, it is his light. And as long as he shines on me, going to be all right. Now, this is not in the message, but it's also called the doxology, but it's in Numbers. It's a prayer that says, Lord, make your face shine upon me. In other words, God, just keep looking in my direction. I don't necessarily have everything I need, but God, if you just glance in my direction, I'm going to be all right. If you would just turn your face toward me, God, look on my situation. That's why when sometimes people pray, they say, God, look on her situation or look on his situation, because when he looks, his sunlight comes. And I don't care how bad the situation is, if you just shine on my situation. Let me give you an example. I am a midnight worker. Because I'm a midnight worker, I need things dark in order to sleep the way I need to sleep, because I'm not like y'all. I don't get to sleep at night. I have to sleep in the daytime. And so I have thick curtains and dark curtains, and I have the door shut. I have everything shut because I don't want the light coming in. But when the sun is raging, I don't care what it is, a little slither, a little hole will bring the light in. It can lighten up my entire room, because darkness cannot overcome the light, which is what we've been talking about. And so even in a dark situation, if God just looks my way, he can shine on my situation and I can glow. Somebody say glow.
Glow.
All right, let's look at Psalms 37 and 6.
Making your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like the noonday.
Making means God is the one doing it. Continue to read.
Be silent before the Lord and wait expectantly for him. Do not be agitated by one who prospers in his way, by the person who carries out evil plans.
Sometimes while we are trying to shine, we get a glimpse of somebody else who looks like they're shining, and they're doing it the wrong way. I'm not trying to be nosy. I'm not trying to be in everybody's business. But some folk don't even mind telling you they're doing everything the wrong way. And sometimes it seems like they get the best results. And here we are trying to let God shine, and darkness is all around us. And sometimes it seems like we ought to trade places with them. I want to do what they're doing. Because the last time I checked, they didn't have a job, and they always on Facebook on vacation. I want to do what you're doing. I'm clocking in every day and can't go nowhere. I want to do what you do, because I can't figure out how you don't have no job and you always buying, always doing. Don't be fooled by the fake. Don't let it trip you. David said, my feet almost slipped when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked. But their end. Here's the thing. Right now, it may look like they're ahead of you, but keep on living. Don't trade places with them, because sometimes what you're seeing is falsehood. That's why the people that we celebrate called celebrities, when you hear their life story, you find out how messed up they really are, because we're celebrating them over the stuff they have, and some of them would trade it all in for a peaceful night of sleep.
Amen.
All right, let's continue, because I went in verse 6, but I want to back up a little bit. Let's look at verses 3 through 5.
Trust in the Lord,
okay,
and do what is good. Dwell in the land and live securely.
Trust, okay, go ahead.
Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire.
So you have a pattern that may be different than theirs, and they may look like they're ahead of you, but the Bible says, I need you to trust in the Lord. But also, I need you to take delight in him, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. It's twofold. He, first of all, will give you what to desire, because not all your desires are good. I heard a preacher say this. He said, one of the worst things God can do is give you what you want. Because you don't always know what you want. Sometimes you think you want something until you get it. So sometimes it's good that God said no. It's good that God made them reject you because they was fine when y'all was dating. 15 years later, they got 6 teeth in their mouth. Thank God for the rejection. I had no idea you was protecting me. Thank you, God. I didn't know. Sometimes what you want ain't really what you want. This ain't Burger King, have it your way. God, I want it your way, God. So, take delight in the Lord. He'll give you desires of God. He'll give you what to desire, and then he'll give you the desire that you begin to desire that's aligned with him. Let's go on to this. This is very important. Read this.
Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act.
Mm. We always want God to act, and it don't always seem like he acts on our time schedule, but sometimes we don't understand the prerequisite for him acting or what is required for him acting. The requirement is you got to commit your way to the Lord. In other words, you got to stop hiding the real. See, here's the thing. We get so used to faking for people, we try to fake for God. You need to start telling God what you really are. Sister Krista asked me how I'm doing. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. But when I talk to God, I don't really feel like I'm blessed and highly favored. Sometimes I feel like, God, you're not being good to me. Sometimes I feel like, God, you're not being fair to me. You have to understand, he already knows. So you might as well talk to him about what you really feel. But at the end of the day, and in the Hebrew, what that word means, it says commit your way. But what it really means, it says roll your way onto him. In other words, drop it off onto him. Here's the thing. When it's your way, you want to control your way because it's your way. I want it done my way. But my way is not always the best way. So I give up my way and I roll my way onto you because, as the TV show said, Father knows best. And when I give up my way and put it in his hands, he don't always handle it the way I want him to handle it. When you're praying for somebody, for God to fix somebody, sometimes he starts fixing you before he gets on to the somebody. When you're praying for God to open doors, sometimes he closes doors before he opens the door. But when you have given him your way, then guess what? You can't get it back. So I heard one songwriter say, I love the Lord and I won't take it back. Now, I love the Lord, but I don't always love the way he chooses to work. Because sometimes I've been waiting for some stuff a long time. I got a journal and I call it seed assignments, which means every time I sow a seed, my seed has an assignment. And I've looked through my journal, there's some stuff that has never happened. And I've yet prayed and the answer has somehow been wait or not yet. And sometimes I'm wondering, God, I'm not getting any younger. But here's the thing, when God does it, he does it so well. The same thing happened when me and my wife were trying to have kids. We were crying over it. I was crying too. She was crying in a different way. She was crying more outwardly. I was crying more inwardly. But when God opened the womb, he opened the womb. And now we have kids who are doing well in school. And I look at them and I can't even remember the pain I was in. I can barely remember how it felt because the blessing is so much greater than the loss. So you've got to trust him, and you have to trust the process, and you have to give him your way. Why do we have to do that? Because the scripture says, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is death. In other words, it don't always work the way you think it's going to work in your head. Have you ever devised a plan in your head, and you think it's going to be like 1, 2, 3? Actually, going back to the previous example, I think me and my wife, we talked about waiting for 2 years before we would have kids. In other words, let's spend some time together first, and then we would have kids. But the two turned into a total of 8 with 3 miscarriages splattered throughout that. That ain't how I dreamed it up. That's not how I wrote it up. But guess what? God has still blessed me in the process. And guess what? It gave me a testimony. And there is no testimony without a T-E-S-T, without a test. We always want the money, but we don't want the test. But it's a package deal. All right. So let's put this up here, and this is going to really paint the picture. So we've been talking about that. Glow. Somebody say glow.
Glow.
I want you to do it two more times. Say it again.
Glow.
One more time.
Glow.
Glow. We are trying to glow. Now let's go one more. Go to the next slide. If you remove the G in glow, you have what?
Glow.
Guess what? If you take God out of the equation, all you can get is low. It may look like you're high, but you're still low. You might be smoking and getting high, but you're still low. Because when you take the G off of the glow, if you take God out of the equation, all you can get is low. And some of y'all are going lower because you keep trying to make decisions without God.
Amen.
You can't glow without the big G. So let's paint the picture even clearer. This is something you will see, you will hear. Your children say, if you raised your children, you'll hear young people say it. If you are dealing with young people like my wife in a daycare setting, you will hear this said, and it's not good when it comes to your relationship with God. Here it is, point number one. I can do it myself. You ever dealt with a stubborn kid who is messing stuff up and you try to help? I can do it myself. And you're looking at him like, no, you can't. You're proving to me that you can't. So you try to step back. I can do it myself. You're trying to tie your shoes. I can do it myself. Then they come back, Daddy, it's got knots in it. I know it's got knots in it because you don't know what you're doing. But we get in this our mind's eye, especially when God's taking a while to do what we want him to do. We feel like I can do it myself. I can pick a man myself. Well, the last 36 you picked, you didn't do very good. How about you wait on him? How about you do it his way? I can do it myself. Some of y'all sound like little toddlers. No, you can't. Well, let me change it. Yes, you can. But it's going to be low. It's not going to be like you want it to be. And here's another problem we have is we look at other people who are doing things on a high level. And what we don't understand, they're doing it with God. And we're trying to do it without God. And we're wondering why it doesn't work the way we want it to work. Is you took the G off of the glow and the only thing you can get is a low. So stop telling yourself, I can do it myself. No, you need to be like Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All right, let's define this, and because I kind of want to walk it out. Let's define this. Here's the word independent. It means it's free from outside control, not depending on another's authority. I'm independent. Capable of thinking or acting for oneself. I'm independent, not connected with another or with each other, separate. I'm independent, and that's some of your problem is you too independent. Now, there is a good form of being independent, but let me even talk to you women for a second. There are some men that have a hard time being with you because you won't let them do anything. They can't open the door because you open the door. They can't pay because you pay. Because sometimes when you've had to do so much by yourself, you're used to doing stuff by yourself, but sometimes God is trying to open a door and you're too independent. And sometimes that independence has to be broken. Because in order for you to lean and trust and rely on something, you gotta let some stuff go. You gotta let go what I want and how I think. And sometimes you gotta say, God, I'm trusting you. David said it this way. He said, God, my times are in your hands. In other words, I want it yesterday, But since it didn't come yesterday and it didn't come today, I'm not going to be frustrated, God. I'm going to trust you. And God, you have the final say, and I'm going to believe in you. And so I'm not going to be so independent. I'm going to learn how to lean on you. And here's the thing. When you got to do everything for yourself, it brings a whole bunch of stress. Because you got to figure everything out. I got to figure this out. I got to do this. And I'm not saying that that is not a normal part of life. It is a normal part of life to an extent. Because we all have to do things. But you have to know when you've gotten over into anxiety and worry and fear. And you begin to get into dread. And you're getting into stuff that hasn't even happened yet. You get so caught up about a situation. They tell you, light bill is going to go up. It's going to go up over time. We're raising our prices. In your mind, you already got evicted. All they said was the electricity was going to go up. But you done got so worried. Oh, my God. Sometimes you just got to learn how to go with the flow. If you're going to glow, you got to go with the flow. Here's the thing. When you found out about it, it's not the first time God found out about it. The moment you got the letter and they told you it was going up, that's not when God found out about it. He already knew about it. So sometimes after you go through your process, and I say this all the time, I give myself no more than 72 hours. I'm not superhuman. I've had news that will rock me, but after 3 days, I need to get back on my square. I got to realize, because what I've learned after those 3 days, it becomes a pattern. And sometimes you can't break patterns easily. So I have to sometimes pull myself together. And I'm talking about even with some deep stuff, hard stuff I face, I've learned how to pull myself together. And on that third day, I'm going to laugh. I'm going to do something. I'm going to go out, take a walk. I'm going to do something. Because if I get caught in this pattern, what I'm going to trick myself into believing is I got to get myself out of it. And I it's up to me. It's up to me to fix it. Some stuff I cannot fix. There's some things I can't do. There's some people I can't bring back. There's some snaps I can make that don't change anything. So I'm just going to have to trust God. God is me and you. And if you can't do it, nobody can. If you can't fix it, nobody can. But I'm trusting you. And how do I trust God? I come back to the house of God. I may be broken, but I'm coming back to the house of God. I may be confused, but I'm still giving in the offer. I may be worried, but I'm still taking communion. I'm still going to open my Bible. I'm still going to praise the Lord, because I'm trusting you, God. God, if you can do it, it's going to be done. And here's a strange possibility. It's a possibility what I want is not in your plan for my life. And I may have to just accept that it may not go like I want it to go, but I've learned that God has never left me looking bad when I put my trust in him. Let's switch to the word dependent. Let's read this. It's the state of relying on or being controlled by someone or something else, contingent on or determined by. Here's the thing. You may ask me when. I don't know when, but I'm trusting God. Well, when? I don't know, but I'm trusting God. When it was coming time for babies, I didn't know when we were going to have them. I didn't know it was going to be 2008. I did not know, but I got to the place that I was trusting God. I made up in my mind, I am a father. Whether I father natural kids or not, I'm a father. I'm going to move like a father. I'm going to function like a father. I don't know if I'm going to have to adopt. I don't know how they're going to come, but I'm not worried about it. I'm not stressing over it. I don't even want to cry about it no more. God, I'm trusting you. And guess what? What I believe was true. I was a father. It just wasn't time yet. But when it became time, I was everything that God said I was. And here's the thing that I learned about myself that I had to come to grips with. If I would have got kids when I wanted to have kids, I wouldn't be the father I am today. Because more than likely, I would have put my ministry in front of the kids. or my temper. I was an angry man. I still got some anger issues, but I've gotten better over time. I would have been a much angrier father than I was when I got the kids. And so here's the thing I had to learn. I wasn't ready for what I was praying for. Sometimes you're not ready for what you want, but if you trust God, he'll get you ready. May not be ready yet, but God is getting me ready. I may not be ready for the car I want right now, but he's getting me ready. May not be ready for the relationship I want right now, but he's getting me ready. And when he gets me ready, I'll be ready. And when I walk in it, I won't lose it so easily. Some people lose stuff real quick because they never was ready for it in the first place. Let's move on. Let's look at Psalm 62. Verse 7.
My salvation and glory depend on God. My strong rock, my refuge is in God.
This whole thing depends on God. The big G in the glow. I can't take the G out the glow. I need the G because this whole thing depends on God. My salvation or my deliverance. You can't be at deliverance temple and you don't trust God for your deliverance. All right, let's read the next verse. This is verse 8.
Trust in him at all times.
Just a few moments.
All times.
Okay, read.
You people, pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge.
Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. Selah. Selah is a Hebrew word which means pause and calmly think upon that. God is our refuge. And sometimes you got to pour out your heart before God. You got to tell him how you really feel. But after you get done crying and snotting, you got to get up and you got to keep on living. You got to keep on moving on and you got to keep on trusting God. And when nosy people ask you a bunch of questions, you just tell them it's in God's hands. Yeah. Well, how you and when you and what you, don't worry about it. It's in God's hands. Yeah. Well, you too deep. Well, don't worry about me being too deep. Just know it's in God's hand. I done made up in my mind that God's not going to leave me lonely. I done made up in my mind that I'm leaning on God. I done made up in my mind that he got my feet and he got my hands. He got me taken care of. I made up in my mind. So I'm sorry that you're confused, but I'm no longer confused because I know God got me. And that leads me to point number two. Here's point number two. Put it up. I got you. I hear God saying, I got you. I've been hearing this year specifically in 2024. I've been praying some detailed prayers. I've been told you that when I'm praying for the people, sometimes I have to pray a whole bunch for people at the same time. So I'm doing quick things for each and every person. Then sometimes I double back. But when I've been asking God about my stuff, some stuff that I've been thinking about, I hear God say, I got you. He hadn't given me a whole lot of information behind it. I just hear God saying, I got you. And I want to tell you the same thing. I hear God saying the same thing for you. I got you. It don't look like it. It don't feel like it. It don't seem like it. But all you need is one word from God. And I'm here to tell you that God said, I got you. And here's the thing, when he says, I got you, he's also saying, I got this. Whatever the this is that is troubling you, he's saying, I got you and I got this. So trust the Lord. There was a young lady in January, she came across, said she was being tormented with some demonic pressure showing up in her home. And so she turned on her phone. And our Bible study popped up, and she said that everything that I was talking about was what she needed, and it gave her peace. And so she reached out to me, and she asked me, could I come and pray over her home? And so I got the message. We weren't even friends or followers, so it took me a while to even see the message. And I looked at it, and I put it down because I don't know nowadays, you don't know what's what. I ain't going to your house. I don't really know who you are. You trying to trap me up and take pictures talking about pastor was at my house. Nah. No, sir. So I didn't answer it. But later on, something was like, look at it again. I looked at it again, so then I responded, and I was like, well, just tell me what's going on. But as they were talking, I'm like, no, something's going on. So I decided I was going to go, and I went to the home, and I began to pray over the home, and I was able to talk. And it was actually a beautiful moment. The person was really struggling and told me their story. They had been here before. Somebody invited them, not necessarily a member, but I realized that God would want to be there, and so I prayed. So just 2 nights ago, I heard from them again, and they were telling me a dream. They said they had a dream, and they wanted to see if I could interpret it. And so as they were telling me the dream, I won't explain it all, but there was one particular part of the dream where she said there's this entity that just kept showing up, and all it kept saying was, basically, I got you. Don't be afraid. I got you. And as I looked at it, I was like, that's the same thing God been telling me. See, when there's a word for God, it ain't just for one person, one church. It's a global word. And I don't care what the world does. I don't care what the demons do. I don't care what Russia and Ukraine and Israel and Iran does. I don't care what happens at the border. I don't care what Biden or Trump does. Here's the universal word. I got you. And if you stop being so independent and get in the arms of the Lord, I hear God say, I got you. I got your grief. I got your debt. I got your college degree. I got your mortgage. I got your car note. I got your mind. I got your peace. I got your joy. I got your divorce. I got your relationship, because I'm God. And if you put the G back with the glow, I got you, because I got this. Look at your neighbor and say, he got this. Oh, yeah, he got this. You got it. Me and my wife, we do like to do this time and time again. We like when we go out to eat with people, sometimes we like to sneak and pay the bill. And so I've done it, and my wife has done it, and sometimes the people around us are looking like, oh, hey, wait, what's going on? And I say, she got this. Put your money back. Don't worry about it. Don't fuss with us. She got this. And here's the thing. She had already made up in her mind. She had already planned it out. So them worrying about it don't make a difference, because she had already planned. I got this. I'm here to tell you like that. I'm pointing to God. He got this. Put your money up. Put your wallet up. Don't worry about it. Go ahead and get you a doggy to go play, because he got this, and he gonna work it out. He's a God that can work it out. Jesus will work it out. If he can be with the three Hebrew boys in the fire, he can be with you in Muncie, Indiana. I'm here to let you know, he got it, baby. He got it. Now look at Joshua 1 and 9. Read that.
Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Ooh, you ain't by yourself. Don't worry, you're not by yourself. He gonna be with you. Only thing I'm asking you is don't be scared. Get your courage back. Get your gumption back. Get your faith up. Get your hope up and step out and shine, because God is with you wheresoever you go. Wherever you go, he with you. Isaiah 41:10, read that.
Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
If you're weak, it's all right. If you're struggling, it's all right. If you're broke, it's all right. If you're depressed, it's all right. Because I got you, baby. I got you. I can hold you up. At the beginning, it says, fear not. And there are a lot of Bible scholars that say that actually that phrase is there 365 times in the Bible. I don't know if it's there or not. I have not counted them all up. But many people have said it's there 365 times. And so if it is, then it lets you know for the whole year, he's only telling you, fear not. I got this. Even if it's not there 365 times, it don't make a difference how many times it's in there. It's in there. And I'm here to let you know, fear not, because God got this. Let's go to the next verse.
Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish.
I want you to stop worrying about all the all the haterade in your life. Don't worry about it, because God said, if I got you and I got this, I got them too. Let them talk. Let them speak. Let them say what they're going to say. It don't make no never mind, because when God wants to bless you, I don't care who don't like you. I don't care what they say. I don't care how much they laughed at you. Stop worrying about people being behind you doing wrong to you, because here's the thing, they're behind you for a reason. You keep moving forward, because God got this, God got you, and God got them.
Yeah.
Read on.
You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all.
I really don't want you wasting your time, because you're going to look for them, and they ain't even going to be there. See, here's the thing. You have people who talked about you, but when you post your blessing, they're going to be in there talking about congratulations. I always knew you can do it. God will turn your haters into friends and turn them into people that actually admire you. And yes, maybe they did talk about you, but when they look at your life, they're going to fix it themselves. God, forgive me for talking about them. I'm sorry. I even fixed my mouth to say anything about Deliverance Temple. I'm going to go ahead and praise them, because I don't want them to know that I used to be mad at them. I don't want to say nothing. Shh, let me be quiet. God can put folk on hush mouth. You won't even know. Everybody will be smiling in your face, and you ain't got to worry who's fake and phony. All you got to do is trust the process, because God got it all. Now, in my life, there were things said about me and my wife getting together, but guess what? On wedding day, I couldn't tell who didn't like it or not. Everybody smiling. Y'all so cute. You're such a cute couple. I don't know who believed it or not. I don't know who was waiting for us to fall. But 24 years later, we still together. So it looked like God had the final say. What are you talking about? I heard through the grapevine she's probably pregnant. That's why they're getting married. And when they're getting married, well, then when we struggle to have kids, whoever said that had to change their mind, because it wasn't about that. Some people act like they in your life. In your bedroom. And here's the thing. What people do, they project what they doing onto you. See, that's what they was doing, and they wanted to project it onto me. But God didn't even let me worry about it, because when I heard about it, I was getting fitted for my tux. So why worry about it? All they got to do is just keep on watching. You'll find out that ain't why we getting married. We getting married because we in love. That's why we getting married. We in love. It's been 24 years. Everything ain't been perfect, but we still in love. Read one more. Read again.
For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you.
I'll take you by the hand. And I'll help you. I got you. Now when you are a parent of young kids and young toddlers and it's time to cross the street, the first thing you do is you make sure you grab their hand. You make sure you get them, especially if you get nervous, because when you are over someone and you are the protector and the purveyor over their life, you grab them by the hand. And ain't nothing like putting your hand in the hand of the master. That's why the songwriter said, hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. Build your hope on things eternal, but hold to God's unchanging hand. Your hand may change, but God's hand never changed. You may fail me, but God has never let me down. He gonna help me. Do I need some help? Yes, I do, but he gonna help me, because the helper is here. The Bible says, Jesus said, I'm gonna send you the helper, and the helper is here, and he gonna help me. And because I know he's on my side and he got my hand, I feel like the little engine that could. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can.
think you can. Oh, and now I know I can. I know I can. I know I can. I know it. And after that, I know I did. I know I did. I know I did. Because I'm going to be everything that God said I'm going to be. Because he got my hand. Not only does he got your hand, here's the final thing. And this, we're closing the Shine series. And here's the major thing you need to know. I am your light. All right, Psalms 27 and 1. This is what David said. Now, before you read this, David said this as he was being chased by Saul, anointed to be king, chased by the person he thought was on his side, chasing him in caves and running. And he pens these words. What does he say?
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Uh-huh. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Now, he wasn't talking about imaginary folk. When I talk to you about your haters and stuff, I don't know if it's true or not. That could be imaginary. He knew who was after him. He knew he was trying to kill him. He knew it, and he had the audacity, the unmitigated gall, and the nerve to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation and my deliverance. He said, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If you know anything about this verse later on, three verses later in verse 4, he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord to behold his beauty. Listen, I'm not worried about what's supposed to scare me. All I need is to get next to God. Let me dwell with my God, the one that is holding my hand, that one that is on my side. It may be dark, but he is my light. It may be dim, but he is my light. It may be black, but he is my light. I may be confused, but he is my light. I may be depressed, but he is my light. I may not know what I'm going to do, but he is my light. They may have betrayed me, but he is my light. I'm trusting in him. Now this next verse takes you all the way almost to the back of the book. The last chapter of the Bible, the way it's compiled, is Revelation 22. But Revelation 21 makes this statement at around verse 23. It says this.
The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the lamp is its lamp.
The lamp is its lamp, and God is the light. If you're going to shine, if you want to glow, you're going to need the big G in your life. He's going to be your light and the lamb. What is the lamb? The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Yes, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. But in order to be your light, he became the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He died on a cross for your sin. And when you accepted him in your life, you got the big G in your life. And you can go ahead and glow because he is your light. That brings me to your favorite part of the message. Put it up there. The conclusion. Here it is. God is the glow in your shine. He is your light. Rely on him. God got this. Say it one more time. God is the glow in your shine. He is your light. Rely on him. God got this. That's going to take us to our confession. This is how we're going to close out our Shine series. Go ahead and rise to your feet. You're going to repeat after me. Go ahead and make it transparent for the people online. Repeat after me. And if you're online, go ahead. Even if you're by yourself, go ahead and repeat it as well. Let's say it this way. Say, God,
I give my life
over to your light.
Over to your light.
Shine on me.
Shine on me.
Shine through me.
Shine through me.
Be my glow.
Be my glow.
Light my way.
Light my way.
One more time. God, I give my life.
God, I give my life.
Over to your light.
Over to your light.
Shine on me.
Shine on me.
Shine through me.
Shine through me.
Be my glow.
Be my glow.
Light my way.
Light my way.
Come on, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we believe in your light and we receive it in order to shine. And I hear you saying you got us.
And we're going to trust that you got us. And when you deliver, we're going to make sure nobody gets the credit but you. It will be said, like the scripture says, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes.
And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you remain standing? I want to send our live audience off. God bless you. Have a great and a marvelous week. We love you. See you on Wednesday.